Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First though, this morning, as you know, many parts of the country have witnessed the wettest March on record. Met Erin's climate report for the month said there was above average rainfall in most places, but particularly in the south and the east of the country. This has been particularly testing for farmers trying to deal with an ongoing fodder crisis and saturated land. This has prompted calls for the government to introduce a fodder support scheme. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Martin Hayden, who's Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture. But first, we want to hear more about this situation facing dairy farmers. In particular, I'm joined on the line by Mike McGann, who's Chairman of the Food and Fodder Security Committee. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Claire.
I know the Fodder Committee met last Friday. Will you just remind us what the role of the committee is and what plan you've come up with now to try and deal with this crisis?
The role of the committee is to establish the facts, see what is the extent of the problem, see where the greatest areas of deficiencies are, and see is there a surplus in other areas that we can hopefully use the resources of the full committee, which is has a large range of stakeholders, and can we put them interfacing with the problem and ensure that we can maybe get the problem solved by using the resources that are there within the group.
So what we have at the moment are cattle and cows stuck in sheds when they should be out grazing. The land is too wet to put them out, so farmers need to feed them. Is there enough fodder in the country to do that?
Yeah, the survey, we did a pretty extensive survey from Chagos and others that are on the committee to establish what the reality is. It's tight in places, there's no denying that. But there are other places that have reasonable amounts, and so we're trying to find out what we can do to do that. Well, as you described, the cattle are in the sheds. They are normally out this time of the year. We've very, very successfully matched farming systems with a predicted weather pattern. When that gets thrown out of kilter, everything changes. So you have animals indoors when they should be outdoors. That rises the cost that people have made just enough fodder, or not just enough, but enough fodder for the normal weather cycle. And when the cat gets thrown out, they run into problems.
So what kind of pressure is there on the system?
It's twofold. It's higher cost for the animals being indoors. They're being fed more expensive kind of feeds. There's nothing to beat the animals outdoors where they can eat grass and they can effectively manage their own beds, spread their own manure, all the things that incur costs when they're indoors. So when they're indoors, all of their dung has to be collected, spread at a later date. You have to give them feed that you would otherwise not have to give them at that time of the year. And the other thing is that cows, particularly milking cows in the dairy system, they produce a different kind of milk. They produce different constituents in the milk. It would be 2 or 3 cents a litre lower return to the farmer by being indoors than being outdoors, because the outdoor system is just the best. And so you have less protein in the milk, so a lower price. So you have two conflicting things. You have the higher cost and you have a slightly lower return. But we shouldn't let the moment pass without also mentioning the tillage sector. They are in dire straits. They have not been able to sow the crops they normally sow, and it's running late now, and they'll have particularly poor harvest. So while we talk about the livestock is the immediate issue because people are talking about livestock, I think we shouldn't lose sight of the problems the tillage sector are in as well.
So do farmers need help?
I think the role of our committee is to find the solutions within the system, within the farming system. I had a farmer call me last night, pit of silage available. He'll make it available, normal cost. He doesn't want anything more than the going rate, but he wants to know that A, he'll get paid for it, and B, they'll take the entire pit of silage. They won't be left with a small amount. And that's a fair thing. So if there are more of them out there, we'd love to know. and that we can put that person in contact, hopefully through the co-ops or through the farm organisations, with where there is a need, and but potentially use the contractor service to move it.
The question is, can the farmer at the other end of that deal pay for it?
Yeah, very, very quick question. And I think if the aid was to be there, put into that place, that would be a very appropriate place for a solution, for an aid solution.
Well, at that point, let's bring in Martin Hayden, Minister of State of the Department of Agriculture. So we know that there are farmers who are under huge financial strain, and of course the tillage farmers, as mentioned there by Mike, will be under strain if they can't get those seeds into the ground. But first, to deal with the livestock farmers, Martin, will the government be giving them a bailout so they can meet those extra fodder costs?
So first of all, just to recognise, as Mike has outlined there, Claire, and good morning to you and your listeners, that, you know, farmers are under huge stress at the minute. I'm regularly hearing stories about farmers telling me that they can't sleep at night hearing the rain beating off the window. So we know the impact that this is having on all farmers, whether it's livestock farmers or tillage farmers in that space. And my role and the role of my department is, and government's role, is to coordinate all of the supports in place, including through the Food, Fodder and Seed Security Committee that Mike is chair of, to make sure that we analyse exactly where the pinch points are, where the fodder is in the country. This isn't a fodder shortage crisis as such, in that we have grass out in the fields, it's just the land isn't trafficable. So this is very different to the fodder challenges we faced in 2013 and 2018 as a country, which were more linked to drought. So, you know, at this point, if it was to stop raining, you know, we would have very busy farmers, very busy contractors, and all the pressure that that would bring, but we would manage. But the forecast into the weekend is poor, and if this was to continue beyond the next week into 10 days, then we're in a different space. So what government is doing now, and what my Department of Agriculture is doing, is working across all the agencies, looking at working capital and financing, engaging with financial institutions and credit unions on how they can support farms in the short term, reviewing the low-cost loan scheme that is in place for the sector, like the SBCI, is something that has to be done, engaging with those at the coalface. So whether it's the cooperatives, who have played a key role here in the past, the farming organisations, feed merchants, to consider the logistical supports that could be offered to get fodder to areas.
So you're offering them logistical support, but not financial support. And I see in the Farmers' Journal today that the Department of Agriculture's Deputy Chief Inspector Louise Byrne is quoted as saying at the fodder committee, at Mike's committee, that there's no money for a fodder support scheme. Nothing.
And that committee met last Friday, and we're a week on now. So there, I'm being really clear here. This is a fluid situation, if you pardon the pun, and farmers are under real stress. Government has never been found wanting in the past. We spent over 120 million on two fodder schemes over the last 2 years. That was a very different set of circumstances for farmers. To make fodder was really expensive after the Ukrainian crisis and with high energy costs. So government stepped in to support farmers to make more fodder. That's why we don't have a shortage now. This has been an unprecedented winter, with the winter starting much earlier and animals being housed back in September instead of late October. And to not have those animals turned out to grass now in April, again, is unprecedented. And what I'm saying is, nothing is off the table as this situation develops.
So Louise Byrne saying last Friday, there's no money for subsidising feed purchases or for having a fodder support scheme for 2024, or any other money for that matter in relation to fodder. That was true last Friday, but it mightn't be true next week.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, if it stops raining, then the need for that intervention isn't to the same extent as when we are in the situation now that we are monitoring the weather, we are seeing where farmers are at, we're pulling together all the different elements here. Obviously, there is a need for working capital and finance. And my point is, government has never been found wanting in the past to support the sector, to support our farmers. And I understand the stress that they are under, and everything remains on the table. That's as clear as I can be. As we monitor and as we work with farmers and farm organisations, with industry, with feed merchants and with cooperatives, and obviously using the likes of Chagas, who have a key role to play here in terms of advising farmers through what is a really difficult period.
I've tillage farmers getting in touch with me as we're speaking here. I mean, what is your view on what should happen for them?
Yeah, so look, tillage farmers have, again, had the double whammy of, it was a really challenging period for sowing winter crops before Christmas. Normally you would have expected to compensate with that by getting more spring crops in this time of the year. The window for sowing spring crops it will be closing in the coming weeks, and there are challenges around sowing later and in wetter conditions around control of disease and the rest. And that's why we're working across all the sectors with Chagas and across all the cooperative elements to make sure that we support tillage farmers in every way that we can.
Okay, so are you saying, just going back to the livestock problem, if the weather doesn't improve over the next week to 10 days, there will be a government package for farmers?
What I'm saying very clearly is that everything remains on the table to support farmers in every way we can. This has been a really unprecedented winter. The challenge is that the grass is there, it's there to be at, but we can't get the animals out onto it to the same extent. If the rain stops in the next week and we get that dry period that you would expect this time of the year, the issue will stabilise. But if it doesn't, government remains ready to make sure that we use every lever available to us to continue to support farmers in our agricultural sector, which is so important to our economy.
The model, though, that we have of farming, you know, when we make such a play of the grass feeding of our cattle and our cows, I mean, looking at what's happening now, does that need to change?
Well, look, farmers have been changing, and farmers have been investing very significantly in with the support of government. We had the targeted agricultural scheme there, TAMS, which, you know, has seen over €370 million being invested by farmers. A lot of that around increased slurry storage capacity, you know, being able to invest in different machinery that helps farmers to farm in this way. Business models around farming have been changing and adapting to our climate challenges and our new targets and all the rest. This is an unprecedented winter. It really is. Going from September to April, there hasn't been a break. No farmer has caught a break here at all. It is impacting them. We do farm very differently than we did even 5 or 10 years ago, and we continue to adapt to that. But right now, when we are in this moment of severe pressure on our farmers, it is right that government stands up and supports them.
All right. Well, let's see what happens over the next 7 to 10 days and what the government might need to do. Martin Hayden, Minister of State, thank you for joining us. And Mark McGann there from the Food and Fodder Security Committee. Hazel Mullins is President of Veterinary Ireland and also a large animal vet and a dairy farmer who's based in Cork and has been listening to all of that. Good morning, Hazel.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, but none of that is news to you because you are living this and you're meeting farmers who are going through the same thing as yourself. At this time of the year, your cows would be out grazing, right, and cattle?
They certainly would. I just left them there about an hour ago, looking out fondly on the grass as Dad tried to get them back into the shed for the day. It's just too wet today to put them out, and I think more rain forecasted this evening. So, look, I have probably a dual role, as a large animal vet and a dairy farmer. I'm kind of getting both sides, and it is from colleagues out in practice. There's a very low mood with farmers at the moment, and we meet them at the front line. We're there on the farm when things are going wrong, and unfortunately, you know, it's just a really difficult year for farmers, and it's, I think, that symbiotic relationship between vets and farmers, it takes its toll, and it's hard. Yeah.
Can you let them out at all during the day for any period of time?
I live in Cork. So look, we've had some good days here and there, but generally they've been in every night and they've been out maybe 15 days, maybe, for a couple of hours, and then sometimes we've had to bring them in, sometimes they come in themselves because it starts to rain. It's just in and out. Their routine is totally gone, basically. You know, they're confused, they want to go out, but then when they're out they come in, and you know, there's silage available for them. Luckily on our farm we do have fodder, we're very lucky, so they do have food and they can come in. But look, they would love to be out, as I agree with Minister Hayden and Michael, they do want to be out.
Yeah, I saw a picture that you took of the cows this morning standing at the gate looking out at the grass. Do you think they're frustrated standing there looking at the grass that they can't get out to eat?
I think, well, I would, if they could talk, I'm sure they would say to us that they are. I think, look, there's nothing like seeing cows grazing outside and the freedom. Look, we're coming to the end of the calving season now, and unfortunately we're coming into the breeding season. It never stops here on the farm. So 1st of May is kind of peak breeding season, but they are coming into heat at the moment as well, which is causes another trouble in sheds when, because of our seasonal calving pattern, a lot of cows are after calving, so a lot of cows will be coming into heat now, so they'll be ovulating and they'll be coming into heat, and unfortunately cows jump on other cows when they come into heat, so this can cause injuries in the shed. So I think I had 4 cows myself this morning, you know, in heat, which caused a little bit of trouble in the waiting yard. And look, in the fields doesn't cause an issue, but I have had colleagues go to a few injuries because of you know, cows coming into heat. So that's mm-hmm. one problem at the moment, yeah.
And there are a few others health-wise for them as well when they're inside so much.
Yeah, so look, it's, I suppose we're a grass-based system. Our sheds, as Minister Hayden said, we have invested a lot of money in sheds, and it's brilliant to see on farms. But unfortunately, we do have a grass-based system, which is brilliant. But then when this long winter comes, it does come bring problems. So mastitis would be one of them. So buildup of pathogens, basically, you know, with manure in the sheds can cause infections. So mastitis is an infection of the udder. So cows are actually becoming towards peak lactation now. So they're getting, their udders are more full of milk. So they're just a little bit more predisposed to infections, and just keeping that hygiene up. I know farmers are really tired. I'm tired myself. But trying to keep the cubicles limed, you know, with disinfected lime, and trying to keep them clean is important. Feet as well, so they can get a bacteria, Mortellaro. It's a dermatitis. So when they're, you know, if there's too much slurry, too much manure in the shed, they can build up infections, and that bug lives in that manure, and it's not as prevalent in the field. So it is more of an indoor condition. So foot bathing would be very important. So if any farmers need to have a chat with their vet about prevention of digital dermatitis, Mortellaro is another word for it. And then pneumonia, I suppose anything that's in a shed is more predisposed, especially young stock. I know a lot of people might have their young stock out because they'd be smaller, they wouldn't do as much damage, but a lot of places still have their young stock in the shed. So humid, it's quite warm. Some days there it's 13 or 14 degrees. Humidity brings more virus. They love humidity. So it's also vaccines. So some of the vaccines would have been given 3 to 6 months ago. So they're just coming to the end of their, you know, life, really, their immunity in the animals. So it's just important that if they are staying in the sheds that little bit longer, that you're talking to your vet about maybe a booster vaccination now to prevent any further disease. Mm-hmm.
But there's a big cost associated with doing another round of vaccinations, which is a decision that farmers will have to make. You spoke at the beginning about the form, you know, how difficult this is for farmers, and you're in a unique position where you're meeting a lot of farmers through your work as a vet. Would you say it's taking a toll?
Certainly, yeah. I think it's any farmer that you meet, anyone, if you're not in a farming community, but you know a farmer, I'm sure if you ring them at the moment or talk to them at the moment, they're under a lot of stress. And, you know, even myself, I've felt, you know, very down days over the last couple of months, and it's hard. And I think just talking to colleagues as well, the mood amongst farmers that they're meeting is very low. And, you know, as part of Veterinary Ireland, we're promoting our members now to really look into maybe joining programs such as On Firm Ground, which is just a new launch program by the Department of Ag and Food and Marine and the HSE, which helps ag professionals such as ourselves and also vet nurses to go and do a course about how to engage with farmers on mental health and well-being. So it's a really good incentive. So there's things happening out there that help vets and farmers to deal with these challenges.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, in your job as a vet, when you're going out and about, you're having very in-depth conversations about the impact that this is having on farmers.
Yes, I think there's, look, we want to have our animals out. People are very tired. It's been a really busy calving season. You know, April is generally the light at the end of the tunnel. And we really need some of that sunshine now and that light to come, because, look, hopefully things will change and it will improve. And hopefully May it'll be a distant memory. But yeah. It is, look, just to know that farmers out there, you're not alone. everyone is in the same situation, and to talk to whoever you can talk to, really.
And look, if the weather improves, things could turn around very quickly. You know, I mean, if we got a week or two of good weather, we'd be, as you say, in a very different place by the end of the month.
Yeah, so it's just keeping focus now on actually the animals in the shed and really trying to, you know, push past that tiredness, push past the frustration, and make sure that we're doing the best for our animals, and, you know, keeping the hygiene up, and just making sure that maybe giving a bit more space in the sheds to any of the animals that are breeding as well.
All right, Hazel, thank you very much for talking to us. Hazel Mullins there, President of Veterinary Ireland. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.